Both the U.S. and Cuba say the recent food sale to Cuba was a one-time emergency deal prompted by Hurricane Michelle, which devastated Cuban crops last month. Even before the storm, Cubans were having a tough time making ends meet. The slowing world economy and the September terrorist attacks have undercut overseas tourism. These days, Cuba's main source of hard currency. From Havana, NPR's Jerry Haddon has this look at how ordinary citizens are getting by.
On an early sunny morning in a well-to-do Havana neighborhood, two elderly Cuban women move inconspicuously down the sidewalk. They knock at a door asking for water, but once inside, it is they who have something to offer: milk. One woman unzips a dusty blue book bag, revealing six small white boxes of contraband. The milk cost her 10 cents a box. She sells it for 80 cents, and she won't say where she got it.
I have a friend in a warehouse who sells it to us. It's someone who likes us. I have my little milk business going, and I'll sell it to whomever asks. I don't have a government job. I earn more working for myself.
Average government salaries in Cuba hover around $8 to $20 a month. The milk ladies say they can bring in that much in a day. Though their black market trade is illegal and dangerous should they be caught, they say they have no other option.
This is the only way we can buy things in the store. If we can earn a dollar or two here, then we can buy shoes for our kids, which they only sell in the dollar shopping malls. You can't find them in the Cuban stores, and it's the same with clothes.
These women represent the very edge of a vast underground dollar economy in Cuba, an economy that upholds this regime financially but threatens to undermine its socialist ideals. Cuban President Fidel Castro legalized the dollar in 1994 as part of emergency reforms following the end of Russian Cold War subsidies. Though unpalatable, the decision has helped Cuba maintain steady growth ever since, principally through tourism. But it has also spawned myriad unofficial entrepreneurs, hustlers, and, like the milk ladies, black marketeers. The government is constantly seeking a middle ground to maintain control. If it cracks down too hard on the black market, it could create a crisis. If it turns a blind eye, the weed of capitalism could spread unchecked. Ana Julia Jatar is a Latin American studies professor at Harvard University and author of a book on Cuba's informal economy.
This is a game that is going on every single day. Cubans go out. They know that they have to make at least one illegal act to survive every single day. And they know that the government knows that they're doing it. And they know also that the government has the power to punish them every time. So this is a new kind of control. This new kind of fear.
Few Cubans are permitted to earn dollars directly. For example, foreign hotels pay wages directly to the Cuban government, which then pays its citizens a much lower salary in pesos. But there are exceptions, and it's making some people relatively well off. At a downtown Havana arts and crafts market, a 39-year-old artist named Candido sells ceramic ashtrays to foreigners. He is part of a small ongoing experiment, Cubans allowed to charge and keep dollars. But he says since September 11th, business has dropped off.
Before, we were selling a lot more stuff. A lot of people have stopped coming because of all this war business. People are afraid of terrorism. But Cuba is the most tranquil country in the world. In my opinion, it's the most peaceful place on earth. It's the best in every respect.
And with that, Candido can't help but offer the nearly obligatory box of Cuban cigars. Tourism, Cuba's largest hard currency source, was sluggish before the suicide plane attacks in the United States. Now it has nosedived. The downturn is apparent in Havana, and even more so 2 hours east, along the white beaches of Baradero. Baradero is the jewel in Cuba's tourism crown. Several five-star hotels cater to foreign sunseekers, but these days the beaches and poolsides are much less crowded than in recent years. 27-year-old Norwegian jockey Elizabeth Christensen did make the trip with two friends. She says she hoped for more action.
It seems very quiet, like especially at nighttime around in the streets. I expected more people about and more pubs and nightlife.
So did the Cubans who work here and depend on tips in dollars to survive. However, the vast majority of Cubans have no access to dollars at all. Just an hour inland from Baradero, one enters a region of fertile farmland covered in lush citrus groves and green fields of sugarcane. Hurricane Michelle ripped through this province in November, killing five and destroying crops and thousands of homes. Nestled between two cane fields stands the spared house of Neri Rodriguez. She and her grandmother share two tiny cement rooms. They have never had electricity. Preparing a strong Cuban coffee over an aging gas burner, Neri says on her government salary as a cook in a high school, she can buy meat perhaps twice a month, and that's only if the butcher has any. She says locals resent that fellow Cubans are earning dollars, and she imagines what she'd do if she had them.
The first thing I do is move into town. Who wants to come out here? It's impossible. Everyone wants to live comfortably. I'd like to lie down and have a fan to cool off and a refrigerator to keep cool water. I can do without other things, but it would be nice to have cool water.
Cuba's socialist government does provide most basic services, such as health, housing, and education, for free. It also hands out a meager food ration monthly. But the march of the dollar has been slowly but surely changing everyday life. The Cuban government now pays miners, fishermen, and other employees dollar bonuses, and sugar workers in this region are lobbying for the same incentives. That need to pay at least partly in U.S. currency may grow stronger. Dollar remittances from the U.S. have dried up significantly since the suicide attacks on the U.S. No one knows for sure how much money on average was being sent yearly, but some estimates place it close to $1 billion. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Matanzas, Cuba.